Next week I'm not here. I'm traveling. The following week is Erev Hanukkah. So I'm guessing that at this normal slot will not be available. We'll be lighting candles going then. So maybe I'll try to give. I want to do a one share on Hilchos Hanukkah. So I'll try to maybe do that during the break that day. On a Sunday, those who were there before Hanukkah, it's the first day I have. So, tentatively, let's try to do that. Do it at like 1:45 or so on that day. Okay. Anyway, so let's get back to our Eben Ezer. This might be the last year relating to these Eben Ezer issues. To think back to the series that we've done issues in Kalisha and Nagia and covering hair for a woman. And yichud, and what else did we do? And the wedding that we started last week, and now we'll get to. I'm sure we did any others, but and then we'll get to the rest of it today. Okay, so let's finish up. Last week we spoke about minhagim and halachas relating to pre-wedding, and now we actually are going to come, Be'ez Hashem, to the wedding itself. Right? We got to what are we up to? We did the tish, and we did the badekin. To the Badekin, and now we're walking to the Chuppah. Now we're walking to the Chuppah. So we did almost everything. We get to the Chuppah, and let's. We're going to go to source number. We spoke about the source 18. We said outside, Rav Moshe Feinstein had said that even if a girl's not a psula, we still write psula in the ksuba because it's still the chasen is ready to give a ksuba of a psula matayim zuz. So that's why one could write that. 19 was the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama kam nogen lachasus bnei kalos atznuos. That was the halacha of badekin. Okay, so we get to the. I didn't say anything yet. Yeah.
If it's normal, like Judy has kids, like everybody knows she's not a psula, we still write that anyway.
No, I'm talking about cases where it makes sense, where it makes sense to write that. Okay, so we go towards the chuppah. The chassan goes down first, as we'll get to why. You know, well let's talk about why first for a second as a general background. We know there are two stages of every Jewish marriage. What we call getting engaged is not really halachic, and that's called shiduchim. Maybe there was some financial responsibilities in the olden days, but bizman hazeh, there's not really any anything halachic. But there are two stages of marriage. We happen to do them 2 minutes separate from each other, bizman hazeh. But in the days of old, as you know, learned the Gemara in Ksubis and elsewhere, they used to do it a year in advance. They had kiddushin. Often the kiddushin wasn't done in person, right? You send the shliach to do kiddushin. But that was that's stage one. We know exactly what kiddushin is, kesef shtar ubia, and we don't do bia already bizman haGemara, and we don't really do shtar as we mentioned last week from the Rambam, because that's learned out from Torah shebichsav, and we want to daf with the Torah shavapes. So we do kiddushin kesef. It's exactly we know exactly what it is. Chuppah. / Nisuin is the second stage of a Jewish marriage, and we don't really know what that is. And there's no Gemara in Shas that clearly tells us what it is. There are little impressions here and there of what chuppah is, or Nisuin, all the same synonyms, but we don't really know. So as we said, we do many different opinions. We do all of them. We'll try to list off as we get to them what we do. So the chassan goes down with that background. So the chassan goes down to the chuppah, and he goes under the what we call the chuppah, the canopy, first. That's the first state. Well, we already did one last week. According to Badekin, according to some, is chuppah, and that would have to assume that you're allowed to do chuppah before kiddushin. Right? That's a suffix of the Mishnah Melech in Hilchas Ishus, that chuppah could work before kiddushin. But if you assume Badekin is chuppah, that's what you'd have to assume. But we make her a din, don't really assume that, but we do it just in case. So the chassan comes down first, different minhagim about whether, you know, in Chutz La'aretz they have a whole aisle where a lot of different people walk down the aisle. It doesn't really matter who walks when the people walk down. It just has to be the chassan has to get there before the kala. Right, whether the chassan's family goes and then the chassan, or the chassan goes and then the chassan's family, and then the kala's family, the kala's are going to go last. That's pretty standard. But which family members go? The chassan has to get there first. Why? For a halachic reason. Because the chassan going there first establishes the canopy, that little area, as his symbolic home. And by going in first, he establishes that it's his. Because one of the opinions of chuppah is when she goes into his home. And what's his home? Okay, so it might be that night when they go to an apartment. But some people don't even go to an apartment that first night. They go to a hotel. So how do you, maybe the yichud room, which we'll get to, Ez Hashem, in a couple of minutes. But the chassan goes down, establishes that as his home. And that gets us ready for the that shita of chuppah, as when the she is going, when the kala is going to come in. He goes down to the chuppah and he puts on a kittel, right? That is a pretty prevalent minhag. Why does he wear a kittel? So one of two reasons: either because it is a beged of a melech, right? It's a he's a royalty. Two, maybe his purity, right? It's a Yom Kippur. So that's why others wear. Others say it's a siman of shino, that, again, at every stage we like to keep things serious. Remember, this is a kittel, every stage of life that's very happy. Remember, we're human beings. That's what we remember by a kittel. We're buried in a kittel after 120. So, again, we don't want to focus on that reason. But to, just to know that this is a stage of life, and I'm building my home not just for Olam Hazeh, but also for Olam Haba. Right, that can make it a little more positive. But that's the kittel is put on. It's there. And then the chassan waits for the kala. He shouldn't just daydream when he's waiting for the kala to come down. It's good to either, close davening. It's a good time to daven for other people, especially for other people who need shiduchim. There's an ace ratzon. The chassan and kala have an ace ratzon. The kala generally also gets a whole list. While right after the badekin, everybody goes to the chuppah. But generally, the kala stays where she is, right? Because she's going to be last, and she has a whole list of names because it's an ace ratzon. So the chassan also, he could have names, davening, saying tehillim, whatever it is. It shouldn't just be hanging out and the smiling at everybody and waving to the crowd. You know, it's focus. It's a very serious time. Okay, it's not a sad time. Sometimes you see some chassanim, it's like you're getting married, be a little happy. You know, they're so serious. And so smiling is wonderful and great and amazing. But just during these few moments now that you're up there and you have your kittel on and you're waiting, it's nice to also focus on others. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always says, the more you focus on others, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will focus on you. So it's a good idea at this time, where you have such a tremendous bracha that the chazan and kala are zocha to, they are davening for others. So what are some of the shitas of chuppah? So let's look in source number 20. Look in source number 20. where it's underlined. We'll start with that. And then we'll talk about why it's not so clear. Ad sheyavi, right? It talks about a husband and wife are not allowed to live together. Ad sheyavi osolato beisov yisyachin imavi afishanu lo. That's the language of the Rambam. Till he brings her into his house and has yichud. The Rambam has kind of like both. It's yichud, seclusion, and knisa l'rshusov. Yichud zeh hu anikra knisa l'chuppah. Hu anikra nisuin b'chol makom. That's ultimate chuppah. But we don't have that until afterwards. We'll have yichud afterwards. That's the Rambam and other shitas of chuppah is the yichud room. To have seclusion, again, something that was usur beforehand. Remember, we learned Hilchas yichud. And now, the first time one could have yichud with somebody of the opposite gender, so that is chuppah. Says line 7, Rama v'yesh omrim, to chuppah eino yichud, el kol sheviya chasam lebeisel l'shem nisuin. If the chasam brings the kala to his house for nisuin, so again, he's not bringing her to his house maybe for a little while, but the chuppah could be a symbolic house. V'yesh omrim hainu shechuppah hu sheparsin sudur al roshem b'shas habracha, to put a cloth on them. So again, does that mean what we call the canopy, or does it mean what some have the minhag of the chazan kala are both under the same talis? They put a talis on both of them. That's also, this is quoted here in the Ramah. All of these are different opinions. V'yesh omrim to chuppas psula shvishas behinuma. A special head covering. You see this girl wearing a white dress and having a special head something to hold the veil. So when you have a party and she's under the chuppah there, so that itself is part of the halacha of chuppah. We'll get to why in a second. The minag pasha daksha likros chuppah makash machrisan shem yiriya prusa gabi klinsos. The minag now, says the Ramah, 500 years ago, what we call the canopy, where you have a cover with the poles, so that is what is called chuppah. And we bring them in public in public in front of everybody. Everybody sees them going under the canopy, and that itself is umakacha sham. He does kiddushim, which we'll get to. That is chupa hanohegas achshav. One of my friends told me that one time he was a rav and he went to do the chupa, and the chassans, everybody started going, and just shows you what you have to check when you're misada kiddushin. Just put it on the list before, right when you get there. The chuppah has to have a roof. It has to be, right, like a symbolic house. Houses have roofs. So he went, and he had this whole chuppah, beautiful flowers, but the top was empty. Like tachas hashamayim, like under the stars, like straight, nothing in between. Nothing in between. So he quickly, he had the caterer, like, get a tablecloth and tie it on top. And because you need some type of covering, that's one of the shittas of chuppah. But that is, so one dvar hashkafa, did I give it to you? I think I'll give it to you a little bit later, maybe. Where is it? Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah, Aruch HaShulchan talks about it in source 22. Right. Why is it so not clear what chuppah is? Why do we need so many opinions? Kiddushin, we know exactly what it is. Why chuppah? Because the Aruch HaShulchan says a little bit, I'm expanding on it, and that is, acting like husband and wife makes you husband and wife. Chuppah can't be one specific act that is required. Kiddushin is a kinyan. Kiddushin is a change of status. A woman becomes an Ashes Ish. There has to be a formal legal action that is required. Right? The woman becomes an Ashes Ish, and that's kiddushin. And that's why Chazal tells exactly what to do. Chuppah, the message of chuppah is acting like husband and wife. And that itself makes you husband and wife. We discussed in my shir a couple of months ago, whenever it was, it's a similar idea, parallel idea to kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka is the most unusual type of, one of the most unusual types of kinyanim. Right? Meshicha, you pull, hagvah, you pick up. Chatzer, it's in your chatzer. What's kinyan chazaka? 10 different things. You dig, okay, you put up a fence, chazaka. You take down a fence, chazaka. You put up a door. Like 10, what's kinyan chazaka? Just acting like an owner. You act like an owner, you become the owner. That's the secret of the kinyan chazaka, because that's one of the ways of acquiring, acting like the owner. So lahavdil, not lahavdil, but it's a similar concept, acting like husband and wife makes you husband and wife. So all of these opinions are what is the best expression of husband and wife, right? Having yichud, that's a big one. Only a husband and wife could have yichud together. Being the center of attention in the middle of the room, wearing special clothing and everybody looking at you. Yeah, you look like a couple there, right? Husband and wife. Being under one beged together, right? Being cozy like that. That's husband and wife. You know, all of these are reflections of that. So that's just the hashkafa behind. So we do all of them just to be safe, to cover all of our bases. Good. So the minhag of many also in Eretz Yisrael, it's kimat always, unless the weather is bad, is to have the wedding outdoors, outside. There's a bracha tachas the stars, to be able to have children like the stars. That's quoted in the Ramah in Simin Samach Aleph. Not in the Simon and Hayway, he has all the opinions, but Simon Samachalov, I think we had it earlier, under the stars. There was a huge discussion in the postman about having weddings in shuls. That is a big discussion. There are some wedding halls that, you know, they use the shuls, and shuls have wedding halls. The Chazam Sofer talks about it, because in the 1800s, it was a number of postmen were very anti, because they thought it was chukos ha'akum, because the goyim get married in their churches. So maybe that was a parallel, get married in the shuls. That's where they were very, very vehemently opposed to it. Now there's more flexibility by some number of postmen, but that is, just to note, that's an issue. Okay, the chassan goes down. There are those that stand up for the chassan when he walks down the aisle. So where does that come from? So we saw last year, the Perkei Dorbalah, so a chassan was Doma Lamelech. So he's a melech. He's a king. The problem is some say he's only a king after he gets married. He's not a king yet. So some don't stand. Remember, I've been at weddings that some of my rabbis, I remember when my siblings were getting married, I'm the youngest in my family, I remember nobody ever stood. That's like nobody ever stood. Now it's a whole thing. Maybe it started because everybody wanted to see the little kids throwing the flowers. So you couldn't see, so you had to stand up. So people thought that. But who knows? But now it became somewhat of a new minhag. Again, because I remember when people didn't stand. Is it found in the poskim? So if you look there, they some say connected to the halacha by Bikurim. You look in Source 23. The Rav Bar Tanura writes, when the farmers used to bring their bikurim to Yerushalayim, everybody used to stop and give them Shalom Aleichem. The whole Bikurim parade is described in Perek Gimel in Bikurim. Everybody stopped to say hello to them. Even though they didn't stop for every rabbi that walked by. Because you stand up for people going to do a mitzvah. That's why when a funeral goes past, he says, so the Chazan and Kala are going to do a mitzvah. So therefore, if they're on their way to do a mitzvah, so we stand up as a recognition of that. Okay, one wants to stand up, not stand up, that's whatever the minhag is. But there is a halacha of that not everybody is mekayim, and that's when the grandparents walk down. That's a halacha, you have to stand up. If they say vatakam, if they're 70 years old or older, when somebody who's 70 comes into your vision and is in your proximity, there's a mitzvah to stand up. And that's a chiyuv. That's not a minhag. So if you're standing up for the Chazan Kala, okay, make sure you stand up for the grandparents as well. Some walk down with candles. Some walk down with candles. Parents. Some don't walk down with candles. What's the candles about? Let's say it's a zecher to Maimon Har Sinai. Right, that was the first wedding, first Jewish wedding in history, because it was the wedding between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there was fire at Har Sinai. There was fire at Har Sinai. That's where the candles come from. So they say a story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. See, a number of his kids, some of the kids that, one of his kids, I don't remember the order, the story. His first child, they had candles. The second child, they didn't have candles, or the opposite, whatever it is. So, like, he had someone tell me, the man said, Rebbe, what's your minhag with candles? He says, my minhag is to do whatever the machatanim want. Whatever they want, we'll do. We'll do. So that's one of the few stories that I know. So I remember when my daughter got married about 6 weeks ago. So they had a set of candles. I said, whatever they want. They want the candles, so we use candles. So it's fine. I mean, my family never used candles, but I don't care. It's fine. That's not both are fine minhagim. That's one. It's zecher la Har Sinai. Others say it's based on the Gemara Masechta Sota, where the Gemara says Ish and Isha. Right, Ish and Isha, you have the Yud from the Ish and the Hay from the Isha. Without the Yud and the Hay, which is Shem Hashem, this Ish, this fire. Right, so that's why we have fire, because we want to remember that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the marriage in order to keep everything safe and stable. Good, so the Chasen goes down, and there are songs that are sung, Baruch Haba. And in Chutz La'aretz, this is more of a custom, but it's a beautiful custom, not so much in Eretz Yisrael, it's not as common. Which songs are sung? So there is a song that's sung in Chutz La'aretz when the chassan comes down. They sing Mi'adir. Mi'adir alakol, mi'baruch alakol, right? Talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when the kala comes down, they sing mi'bonsiach, which is about the chassan and the kala. And there's a halacha about that's related to. Because in general, you always have to, if you're giving praise, you always have to praise Hashem first before you praise people. And that's why the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim, on Daf Lamed Beis, came up on last week's Daf Yomi, source 24, that when Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem came out to Avram Avinu, after he won the battle with the kings, the four kings and the five kings, and he came out, he wanted to give him a lechayim. So Malki Tzedek comes out and gives a bracha. Says, Avraham, you're awesome. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome too. So the Gemara says, because he blessed Avram before he blessed Hashem, he lost the kahuna. He was Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. He was the Kohen Gadol at the time, whatever that means. And he lost the kahuna because he gave a bracha to Avraham before he gave a bracha to Hashem. We should always give brachas to Hashem first. That's why the first bracha of Mi'adir al-Kol is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Kala comes down, you say a bracha for the chassan and the kala. But it's halacha l'maaser. Rav Shechter likes to quote this Gemara Nedarim. And the kala is whenever somebody makes a lachaim or makes a toast, what do they usually do? They speak for 15 minutes about the person, and then they say, lachaim, baruch Hashem, lachaim, lachalam, shakoni, evaro. No. You spoke about the person for 10 minutes, then you're only giving a praise to Hashem. When you make a toast or a lachaim, first say a shahakol, take a little bit of the drink, and then make the toast. Because that's the halacha is one has to praise Hashem before one, based on that Gemara Nedarim in source 24 that you have. Good. So the chassan goes down, and now the kala goes down, and again she went down second, as we know. She goes down, and there's a minhag pi kabbalah for her to walk around the chassan seven times. That's a pi kabbalah. Seven is always kabbalistic and a unit. Maybe she's creating his ambiance, his world. Generally, the Kala and the mothers don't remember the count. So if you notice the Masada Kedushin, hopefully he's up there and counting it out. That's what you stand up there, you count because you don't want to lose count. So you count and then they like look at you like you have no idea. No, like four. They're like, we're not done yet. No, you did two. but you go and you get up to seven and you end up. She comes around and she is, as the Be'er Heitiv says in Source 25, she, the Kala, stands at the Chassan's right. Right, as supporting him. Source 25, Sarach Lahamed HaChassan L'Smol HaKala, Kedei Shetiyah HaKala L'Yemin HaChassan. So if you're standing, so let's say standing next to each other, the Kala is on the Chassan's right. Different Minhagim, facing the front. I mean, when I was getting married in that whole generation, we always faced the front. Now it's more common to face the crowd. But whatever one does, whatever one's Minhag is, it's not Ma'akev. Either way. Okay, now we're up to the actual ceremony. Baruch Hashem, we've made it. The chassan is there with his kittel on. The kala is there. You've walked around. And how does one stand? Interesting how one stands. I learned from Mori Barabi or Rosenzweig and the worlds that we've had is that the kala's parents are on the kala's side and the chassan's parents are on the chassan's side. You might find some other weddings where the fathers are on the chassan's side and the mothers, again, it's not ma'akev. It's not ma'akev where everyone is. But, I always find it that, think that husband and wife want to stand together to stand next to their child. But, again, you should know that there are different other minhagim that people have in terms of how people stand. Okay, so now we're up to Kiddushin. So what happens, they call up, Mechubid, we see your Kiddushin, and Mechubid, it's a good idea to call up the Edim, at this Eid Kiddushin, they come up, fine. Then he asks the Chassan, it's good to do all of this before the bracha, because you don't want to have any hefsek, at least hefsek between the bracha and the actual kiddushin. So what happens? You show the ring to the edim. It's a shava pruta. Everything's good, wonderful. So now some people do that afterwards, but either way, you fill up the first cup of wine, and then the chassan and kala have to focus and realize that this bari paragafen is for them. And this Birchas Kiddushin, according to many, is for them. Remember, we spoke about the Rambam last week. Kiddushin is a mitzvah saseh daraisa. It's not on the Masada Kiddushin. He's already married, right? So the mitzvah is on, generally. Well, he does not have to be. But the mitzvah is on the chassan and the kala. So the Masada Kiddushin usually says, focus, these are your brachas. If it's a Birchas Shavach, then maybe anybody could say it. But the Bari Paragafen, for sure, is the bracha on the for them. So the Masada Kiddushin says the Bari Paragafen, and the special bracha on Kiddushin, and then he gives to drink from the wine. To the chassan drinks a drop, and the kala drinks a drop. There's a huge discussion in the Achronim about the Masada Kiddushin. Generally, it doesn't say anywhere that the Masada Kiddushin has to drink, even though usually when I make a Birchas Hanehenin, and I can't make a Bari Per Eitz and you eat an apple, unless I'm also eating an apple. I could do a Birchas HaMitzvah for you. I can make the bracha for you, Birchas HaMitzvah, and then you do the mitzvah. But I can't do that by Birchas HaNehanin. So here I'm making a Bari Paragafen, and they're going to drink the wine. So Me'igra Din we hold, and generally what is done is that this isn't a regular Birchas HaNehanin. This is a Birchas HaNehanin in the context of a mitzvah. So I don't have to drink. I don't have to drink the wine. Chassan and Kala are drinking. Fine. There are those that are a little more chazak and no. You have to drink, so how do you drink? The Masada Kedushin shouldn't be drinking. That nobody's going to want to. The Chassan Kala are not going to want to drink after the Chassan. So there are different Misoras about this. There are two stories about what Reb Chaim did. The Talmidim are Harif Kitzoni in both of them. If you look at the Afikayam, one of the Talmidim of Reb Chaim, he says, when Reb Chaim did weddings, as he gave it to the Chassan, he like shook his hand a little bit, so he got a little bit of on his thumb. So as he gave it, everybody looked away from the photographer. Right, he took a little sip, and therefore he solved the problem. And they quote other Besoras as another Talmud of a grandson of Reb Chaim. Chas v'shalom, he never did that. You don't have to do that. He wasn't machmir for that. So who knows? Who knows? But you might see some Masadri Kiddushin that Dafka. I have that Besoras, so they'll shake their hand. But that's the. But either way, Maker Adin, he doesn't have to. So he gives the to the Chas and the Kal. They drink a little bit. Fine, you put it away. Take out the ring. And the Edim are there. There was a big discussion. Rav Soloveitchik was makbid on what's called Yichud Edim. Yichud Edim is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And it's not in the Gemara. The Gemara in Kiddushin seems to be befeirish that you do not need, you don't need to designate the Edim. If Edim witness the marriage, then they witness it. That's all you have to do. And you already called them up. So that's kind of Yichud Edim, even if you want to be Machmir. But Rav Soloveitchik was Machpid for the Ritva, right? The Ritva, I didn't give you that Ritva. The Ritva in Kiddushin. Yeah, I gave it to you in Source 30. It's quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. And that is, you have to say, you are my Edim. Why? Because if you have a whole group of people watching, if you don't appoint, so then some of the Edim, some of the people watching are Krovim. And Nimsechad Karov Apostle, do some Batela. If you have some of the group are Apostle, it's a problem. So that's why the Ritva says, you have to say, you are my Edim. Rav Soloveitchik added on, if you say any Talmidim of the Ra, they're Makbid, to the exclusion of all others. Right, you are my Edim to the exclusion of all others here. Okay, so tell me that the Rav said that. Again, you'll say, are these your most, say, maker, then you don't need that. These are the Edim, okay? And then they witness the marriage. They should have to see it. They have to, like, make sure that they're in front. Make sure, again, the Avnei Miluim discusses more of the Hasidic world, minhag of, it's called a dek tichel, like a tichel, a very thick, you can't even see the kala's face, right? So is that a go? The Aiden don't even see who she is. So is that okay? So they saw her before and they saw her. Okay, but most of our circles, we don't have such a thick veil, so we see, but the Aiden should see exactly the chasin right before he puts the ring on her finger. Beforehand, the kala sticks out her finger because a wedding has to be acquiescence. It can't be forced. So how does the kala, we know? So by sticking out her finger, that's her saying yes. And therefore, when the chasim puts the ring on her finger, so that's the wedding. Mekudeshes. The ADMC, they declare mekudeshes. They're married. Stage one. That's not engaged. That's mekudeshes. They're married. Rahman al-Islam, something happens now, they would need a get. You know, they're fully married after the first stage. Mekudeshes. What just happened now is not an acquisition. We shouldn't translate kinyan as an acquisition, right? A man doesn't buy a woman. Kinyan, we discussed this also in Shir once, kinyan means status change, right? We call Hashem in davening kone shamayim v'aretz. The kone hakol, we say every Shemoneh Esrei. Hashem bought the world, he didn't buy the world. The kone hakol. He created the world, and therefore he is the owner of the world, because he is the creator of the world. Kinyan always means a certain status. So the woman's status is what has changed. She becomes an Ashes Ish. Because technically a woman can only be married to one man, even though a man can be married to more than one woman for whatever reason. But she's an Ashes Ish. So because that's the Kenyan. She's Haisha Niknes. Her status has changed. But now she is Miuchedes. She is designated to him. And the marriage has taken place. We do not believe in double ring ceremonies. Under the chuppah, even if a man is going to wear a ring. And in our day and age, there are those that dafka want to make sure they wear a ring because of, everybody should know that I'm married. Everybody should know in the workplace. I have a friend of mine who wears a ring at work. He has a place in his house that he has deposits it when he walks in the door. But when he's at work, he wants to wear a ring. Again, but bizman hazeh, it's not called beged isha because there are enough men out there that wear rings, but it's not done, nothing's done with the man's ring under the chuppah. You want to put it on in the yichud room, that's fine, but not under the chuppah. That could be a nisa daraisa of I do. That's not an equality kind of ceremony. Kiddushin is knisal or shuso, and or kiddushin, he is makadishur, then chuppah, she goes into his rishus. There's a difference. There's nothing, there's no equality going on here, and therefore we don't have any type of double ring ceremony under the chuppah. A chuppah's nida is disappointing because you're not going to be able to have the yichud, but they're 95%, according to 95% of mefarshim, they're married. They're married. And only three different people have to know about the chuppah's nida. I always tell the story because it just reflects the point. I was an eid kedushin at a friend of mine's wedding, and I was at the wedding, and it was fine. I was in eight kedushin, whatever. It was an afternoon wedding. 2 hours later, like in the middle of the second dance, Rav Rosenzweig, who was the Masechet Kedushin, says, Shalom, come. I'm like, what'd I do wrong? He's like, no, it's fine, come on. So he called the eight kedushin again. I don't know what was going on. See, he said it had been a chuppas nida, and it was day 7. So they had one day, but now it was after shkia. So she had gone to the mikvah, now it was after shkia, now they needed to do yichud again, after shkia. So they did Yichud again, and we were the eight day Yichud. I was an eight Kedushin. I didn't even know it was a Chuppas Nida. Right, the only people that have to know is why, because we paskin, you can put it on the finger, you know, be careful not to touch too much. But the only people that have to know that it's chubas nida is the chassan, the kala, and the rabbi. Right, that's it. He'll find a 6-year-old kid to put in the yichud room, and then he'll go in the yichud room first, and he'll say, okay, Adam, you're out there. I'm going to go check if nobody's in there. Nobody's in here? Okay, all clear. Close the door, lock the door, and the yichud think they're being made on yichud, and they're not being made on yichud. And it's disappointing, but it is it's done generally the same. The chup, the kiddushin is done the same way. Good. So kiddushin is done, and then what? What do we do? Then there's a minhag that goes back to Rashi, and that's reading the ksuba. There is no need to read the ksuba at the chuppah, meaning halachically. There's no halachic reason that we need to read the ksuba at the chuppah. We read it in order to create a hefsek between the kiddushin and the nisuin. Right, we're about to make another Bari Pragafin, right? 5 minutes apart. Right? So how do you make another Bari Pragafin? You just made a Bari Pragafin. So why can't you be motzi? So we try to create a time lag, a time delay. So you create a ksuba. You read the ksuba, and then the chassan has to give it to the kala. So the chassan should give it to the kala. But we read it first, and it's a big kibud for the somebody to get up to read the ksuba. So he reads the ksuba, and then the chassan gives it to the kala. And the kala could give it to her mother or whoever, just to for safekeeping. As we mentioned last week, it's not a marriage document, but a husband and wife can't live together without the ksuba. So it is written. Most poskim, again, this is also a new minhag. I remember growing up, and never was the minhag. Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss and all others, many others, say that you do not need edim to witness the mesiras haksuba from the chassan to the kala. There are some rabbis that make the Eidei Kiddushin stay up there to witness it. Rav Shechter, Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Shechter quotes to Rav Soloveitchik. The whole issue, whether Lohar Masechas Gittin, Eidei Mesira Karsi, Eidei Chasima Karsi, that whole issue is only by a shtar kinyan, not by a shtar raya. Not by a shtar that's for proof. Shtar raya, everybody agrees, Eidei Chasima Karsi, that the Eidim that are signed to it are the key, and the Ksub is an Eid shtar raya. So my rabbeim have taught me that there is no need. But again, you might find some rabbis out there that are makbid for it. If somebody gives a Dvar Torah at the chuppah, it's here because it's create more of a hefsek, right? Not at the beginning, at the end, right here. This is where it's done. In some circles in Israel, they sing a mashkachech here in the middle. Not so common, but some do that. But it's all to create a hefsek. But now we have second stage, nisuin. What's another sheet of Nisuin? Shavah Brachas. So we have the canopy, and we have Knisa Lershuso, and we have the Badekin. Making Shavah Brachas is another sheet, giving them Shavah Brachas as part of the Nisuin ceremony. We have a different cup of wine. You pour another cup. There's always two glasses by the chuppah, because you can't mix two mitzvahs, right? Enos mitzvahs, chavilos, chavilos. You have a separate cup, and you can make a separate Bari Pergafen. So what happens, you have seven brachas, you call up, there are seven brachas. L'chadchila, the first two brachas should be linked. You should call up one person to do the first two. Sometimes it's impossible, you have seven people you have to give kibudim to. But if you can link the first two, it's better. Why? Because if the person just says the first bracha, that's Bori Peregafen. And he's not drinking the wine. So that's a real just birchas hanenin. By kiddushin, he's at least saying another bracha linked with it. The tzivan al arayos. But here, by the first bracha, Shavah Brachas, it's just Bari Peregafen. So lechadchila, we try to have those two brachas together. If not, it's okay, because it's still a Birchas Hananin in the context of Shavah Brachas. So, Mikra Din, it's okay. But again, the Chas and the Kala have to know, these are your brachas. So don't talk from the Bari Peregafen all the way to the end. Right? It takes a while. Right? But also, the person who makes the Bari Peregafen is usually one of these great uncles that wants to give everybody a shkoyach on the way down from the chuppah. So usually if I'm up there, if I'm the Mesakh Kedushin, I say, don't talk until after the Chassan and Kala drink, right? Because he just made a Bari Peregafen, and he's being made it for them, and they're not going to, you do your best. But that's in terms of the Shavah Bracha. Shavah Brachas go back, as we know, it's very old. But Marag Subis quotes these Brachas. Again, the first two should go together. That's Shavah Brachas, yeah.
Is there anything wrong with the guy making the first bracha or the Mesakh Kedushin just drinking a totally different cup of wine?
What do you mean, totally different cup?
Like just have a third cup of wine.
No, the Shavah Brachas, the point is to have Shavah Brachas on this coast. This is the coast of Bracha. And this is the coast that the Chazan and Kala are going to drink from. That's what you want. Good, so you have the Shavah Brachas. then we're almost there. But as we know, the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 34, based on the Gemara in Baba Basra, "Kshechasa no seisha lokeach efer makla." We have a zecher lechorban, right? We put a little ashes on the makam atfillin of the chasan. And you break a kos also at that time, zecher lechorban, because we're building a new bias, but we have to remember that Hashem's bias is not built. For some reason, I mean, we know, there's a Pavlovian response of breaking the glass to saying Mazel Tov. Remember Pavlov in those days? But the dogs. But so now people try to make it. I remember by my wedding, we're like trying to be like, to outsmart. We announced before Im Hashgachech, the chasim will break the glass during the singing of Im Hashgachech. During the singing. So you think during the singing, no, I broke the glass in the middle, people started screaming Mazel Tov, you know, doesn't matter, and then you continue the singing. So even in Israel, it's a little bit better, because usually, again, it's not as common in Chutz Laretz, that after the low part of Im Hashgachech, the chasim himself says the pasuk. And then he breaks it, and then the orchestra continues with the high part. Less people scream it out in that way, but again, whatever people. It's a zecher lechorban, and we try to and we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house at that time. But anyway, once it's finished, Mazel Tov, and there's still one more shita of chuppah, and we try to do them all close together. So we try to get the chasan and kala as fastly to the yichud room, right, which is the last shita of chuppah, the yichud room, not the last. Sitting in a place where the big party is, sitting in a special place with the chazan kala, that's also one of the shitas. They sit in the makam yuchad. But here we try to get them to the yichud room as soon as they can. But you give hug. I mean, you don't have to rush them out. They're giving hugs to everybody. The chazan kala should not hug under the chuppah for one of two reasons. Number one, zechel chukos ha'akum. It could be related to now you may kiss the bride. So there shouldn't be affectionate touching by the chuppah. And number two, the first affectionate touch between the chasan kala should be in private. Generally, Judaism is not a fan of somebody once told me this abbreviation, PDAs, public displays of affection, right? But generally we're not, but so we try. Remember Rabbi Mordechai Wulig once told us that he was going to a wedding, his Talmud said, Rebbe, I've just been waiting so long, I'm just going to have to hug my kala. I'm just going to, he's like, no, you just wait another minute. You're just going to the yichud room. He's like, Rebbe, I've been waiting. So everyone looks like he didn't know what he was going to do. So what did Rabbi Wulig do? He's always chacham edem barosho. So right after he broke down the glass, Mazel Tov, Rabbi Wulig jumps onto the chasan and gives him a bear hug. And gives him a bear hug for like 2 minutes, right? Until he sees the chalas hugging her grandmother, right? So after that, and once you lose it, you're not going to like go hug afterwards. That's how Baruch Hashem, he saved the day. And he was able to prevent that. But anyway, that's what we do. So then they walk away, holding hands away from the chuppah. I'm a fan of, because that shows their husband and wife. They should hold hands. Again, obviously, if it's chuppah's needed, they can't. But they should hold hands. They go to the yichud room. There are eidei yichud, which is a double chumrah. A, that yichud is a form of marriage. B, that you need eidim for chuppah. You need eidim for kiddushin. Eidim for chuppah is very not clear. It's a machlokas achronim, but we double up on that chumrah. We have eidim for the yichud, and so now we've almost finished all of the shitas for our chuppah. After the yichud room, they're in there for 10 minutes or so. They eventually come out and they dance, and they should remember the chazan kala should remember to wash. I think I told you that maybe last time. I was once at a wedding that they were in the middle of benching, and the chazan kala hadn't even washed. That was a big problem. Because it's a suddas mitzvah for them, so they should wash, they should have a little bit, stay together stay together the whole week. There's flexibility in minyanim for a chassan during that week. But even Shana Rishona, the chassan kala is a special mitzvah daraisa, one of the 613. The chassan and kala should spend extra special time. I remember I had to miss one night. One night I had to miss my Shana Rishona. I had a wedding of a friend of mine in Montreal, and the wedding was at night, and there wasn't no way to get a flight back that night. But in general, you know, one should go. It's a good practice for life. Try not to be away, you know, too much. And the more time the husband and wife spend together, it's better for the stability of the marriage. But that's the in terms of that. Just to mention one other point, you could just write this down in your notes. This is something that many people Don't ask, but it's a halachic issue because many people don't want to know the answer. And that's issues of birth control after marriage. One needs a Rebbe. One needs a Rebbe who one's comfortable enough to talk to about these issues. Generally, I'm telling you, most people don't ask. Most couples don't ask. They just do what's good for them. And it's a serious shiloh. Serious shiloh. Once there's one child, there's a lot more flexibility. Once there's a boy and a girl, that's for sure. There's spacing issues. But again, when a couple's ready to get married, as Rabbi Willig also likes to point out, the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, a mitzvah to get married, to have children. You know, that's if you're ready to be a husband, you got to be ready to be a father. There are some that are a little more flexible. In our day and age, Rachmana Litzlan, where the divorce rate is what it is. You want to give stability to the marriage beforehand. On a case-by-case basis, you know, there might be certain heterim that might come up. But even when a couple comes to talk to me about it, so I work backwards. I'm like, okay, so whatever the reason is, so by this month, it's okay. Let's work 10 months backwards. It's not like, okay, so then you start going off the pill. No. Like these are the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest matana that we could get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I'm not ready yet. Okay, in a couple of years. Okay, now I'm ready. Who knows when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans are? I'm not saying it's total, never, ever any heterim. Most couples go on a birth control type of pill before a marriage in order to be able to make sure they're not a chuppas nida. But after that, you know, one should just know that it's a shaila. And it's something to talk about beforehand because many people don't ask and don't even think it's a halakhic issue. It's something to be aware of. Okay? So Baruch Hashem, everybody should have wonderful marriages and simchas. And what age to get married at, that's a separate topic. Maybe we'll do that in the dating shiur. That's more of a sichas chayim than a Monday afternoon. But Beth Hashem, I hope, hopefully, Beth Hashem, next one will be Hilchas Chanukah at some point. We'll try to have before Chanukah. Okay?